22nd on Thursday, 9 o'clock, and we're going to continue to go through the information technology portion of the capital budget today. I think we finished up yesterday with securities database, and we're going to lead off today with Doug at the court system. We're going to start with corrections. Sorry, Doug. If there's someone from corrections could come up and describe the projects, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joseph Reeves. I'm the Administrative Service Manager for the Alaska Department of Corrections. We have two information projects before you this morning. First one is on page 4, the Criminal Justice Management Information System Replacement. Basically, this is a project we've been trying to get completed for the last couple of years, and the Alaska Department of Corrections is finalizing the installation of an improved and enhanced offender-based information system to manage offenders under supervision of the department and provide accurate and timely reports on disposition of those offenders and projections for future planning. Now, this project has been reviewed and approved by the Fish Pack Committee since FY 98, and we've been trying to finalize it. The project is in its final phase of conversion and implementation of the agency's offender-based state corrections information system, or called OPSIS system. And we have 8 OPSIS modules that we'd like to fund with this capital request. Now, these modules will complete the OPSIS project and will automate almost all of the manual processes with the Department of Corrections and allow faster and more accurate access to information and interaction with the rest of the state's criminal justice system, that being the courts, the law, and public safety. Our first module we'd like to complete is a CRC local jail interface, which would cost about $30,000. Now, we have 874 beds that need with type facilities, and they provide up to 319,000 man days of incarcerations at these sites. So we would like to make sure we get some interface with our new system with that. The second module we'd like to do is a commissary module, but that costs about $30,000. Now, all these estimated costs are basically consultant fees that we would pay information type individuals to develop interfaces for us. Now, the commissary account keeps track of all our inmate purchases at the local institutions. The inmate programs and records, we would like to keep track of, that costs about $50,000. We use this module to keep track of inmate participation in various projects, and also between facilities, as they transfer between facilities quite often. So this program would enable us to keep a more better accurate track of them. Medical health care and client billing, which is our most expensive module we'll have, is about $470,000. We would also like, inclusive of that is develop a billing system, an automated billing system, which keeps track of our huge expenses we have. We spend about $15 million a year on Indian health care. The fifth module is a public integration, about $30,000 in that. So that's just how we have information for victims, notifications, and all of the other type of program public information. Quality control auditing, we spend about 67.2, so we can check all these modules on a regular basis to make sure that we're keeping track of our data. Now, the new OPSIS system, the old OPSIS system we have right now has about 300 data elements that we keep track of. That's being identification of the individual, where they're at, and stuff. The new system we're developing will have 1,200 data elements, which we will utilize, and that's going to be a more intense project to keep track of all that information. Our sixth module will be $30,000 for judgment and restitution interface as we keep track of the inmates' obligations to victims and in the state. The seventh module will be a scheduling the agency-wide services that we would use for scheduling of inmates and transportation module and all that stuff. So these seven systems, we estimate to cost $762,200. Now, this new OPSIS system will maximize services to the public through electronic data, optimize government efficiency by enabling accurate, timely prisoner records are available to all users, and will affect the way other public agencies do their business. Now, in public safety, our information that we will be exchanging with public safety is criminal history, remands, wants and warrants, DWI history, offense tables, arrest prints, inmate transportation itineraries, and DWI list again, inmate files, we'll have known associates, inmate photographs, victim notifications, sex offender registration, and special conditions of incarceration. So those are the information we will exchange with public safety and the integrated criminal justice system. Any questions on this project?
Senator Lehman.
In the backup, it says this project ensures that accurate and timely prisoner records are kept for victim services across the state and nation. Will that update help track the repayment to victims from from the perpetrators of crime?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lehman, on restitution or something. This is one of the modules that we're trying to purchase with this project here.
But anyway, that database will be kept better up to date on tracking those payments.
Through the chair, yes, sir, Mr. Lehman.
Thank you. Senator Ward, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you. On the same line, when a prisoner goes into jail and has cash with them, and that money is deposited somewhere, or receives money while they're in prison and that money is deposited somewhere, what's the mechanism now for that, and how does this new addition of dollars track those dollars?
Through the chair, Senator Ward, when an inmate is offender is booked into the institution, their money is taken from them and it is deposited into the HAPA account, I guess you would call it, the offender's automated system under that offender's name, and accredited, basically given to him. And that money is deposited into a state account that we have, a trust account, per se, that we'll hold. And then on our HAPA books, we will have that individual's name and the amount of money that he has with him. And when he's released or something like that, we will issue him cash or a check for the amount of that money back.
Mr. Chairman,
this system here, one of these modules here that we're asking for is inclusive of some of that money. Is like the commissary account is linked into that HAPA account.
So then this money would go to upgrade that in case there was some problems in that account?
Through the chair, Senator Ward, yes, sir. This would also, one that we're working on, we're calling an offender trust account now, an old account rather than a HAPA account, which will keep track of all of the inmate money. And these modules, one of these modules also will benefit towards that OTA system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the second project we've got is on page 10, and that's called the Computer Network Hardware Replacement and Upgrade. Now, that project basically was before you last year also, and that money is basically to replace LAN-WAN hardware that we had set in place in FY95-96. Now, at the time, when we set those LAN-WAN systems up, it was our site that we replace them every 5 years. Now we're on our sixth year, and a lot of these LAN-WAN hardware systems, our servers out there that we have all over the place, are going down. We're having problems with them, and we want to replace many of them. And we're going to replace, we'll be buying some new Hewlett-Packard-type HPL H3-type servers for sites that can be readily accessed by data processing staff and we'll have more secure, advanced service, which we can maintain from remote sites, or from Juneau or Anchorage. We can go out and look at the problems and correct them right there and without having to go transport to 34 locations that we're at throughout the state, from Barrow to Ketchikan to Bethel and Norman. We'll try to do as much as we can remotely. And we'll be buying servers and other equipment such as hubs or wiring or air conditioning units or patch panels or firewall replacements or whatever we need to do to replace those sites out there. And like I said, we have 34 sites throughout the state. And we had spent to date about $6.8 million on this project, of federal and state funds. And it's been six years since we implemented this. Replacement of the OPSA system started in FY91. I mean, it started in 93. We did a study with Criminal Justice Group in 94. We hired a contractor to look at feasibility and the validation studies. And so it's been a long, drawn-out process. And this hardware that we put in place, we had to go from ground up in 1995 to establish a 34 sites. And this hardware now is outdated or not capable of keeping up with the software programming that are available today, and we need to put new hardware in there to keep up with the data.
When you say to keep up with the data, you're not able to. What is it about the data that exists that you can't keep up with?
Mr. Chairman, it's mostly a memory type deal. We don't have the memory capability of keep processing the broader bandwidth data that comes across the system, or not to date. In the last 5 years, technology has advanced so much that the bandwidth need more. We need more memory storage to handle all the programs, the software programs that come through the system. In our new database system, we just need to increase memory capability in this.
Now, you say you started from the ground up, and this has been a five-year process. What's the... Is this just going to be ongoing? So
Mr. Chairman, this, 5 years complete, now, this will complete the core replacement of the offender-based state corrections information system. Everything after this point will be maintenance-type requests that we will come before you, just to enable us to replace outdated and worn-out equipment, hardware and stuff, or to buy expensive-type programming. You know, if it's just moderately priced or low-priced programming or something that we can develop ourselves within, we will try to do that before we come to you.
So you're saying this is the last piece of the puzzle? You're going to have to upgrade later.
Chairman, for Department of Corrections, this is the final piece of our work.
Okay.
For the replacement of that offender data system.
Any other questions? Thank you. Department of Fish and Game?
I'm Mary McDowell with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. This CIP is the Entry Commission's CIP. We show up budgetarily under the Department of Fish and Game, but we're an autonomous agency. CFEC is a very small, efficient little agency with only 31 full-time and 5 part-time positions, and we are very dependent on computer technology to fulfill our statutory duties. We produce a huge quantity of annual licensing work, adjudication of appeals, and handling and retaining of all the state's fisheries economic data. And we're only able to do that with such a small staff because of our system, computer system. And it's very important that we keep up with the ability to upgrade that system to keep up with the increasing workload and small staff. To date, we've been able to do this without any CIP requests. We've been able to stretch this out of our operating budget. Our equipment line in our budget is only $3,000 a year. We have been able to produce our computer work by scraping this out of contractual money that we've gotten over the years and so on. But we're at the point now where we have the piece of equipment that we really need to have in order to upgrade some obsolete equipment and to achieve one of our performance measures for FY02, which is online licensing. We need this piece of equipment that would be $115,000, which would come out of non-GF, which is crucial to our ability to do that, and is just not something that we can manage out of our operating budget. This would be a way that we can do those things without any additional staff and make sure that we also have a backup system to our computer system so that if we do have a hardware failure, we won't have a disaster and loss of the integrity of our data and so on. Roger Colvin, who is our head of our DT section, who prepared the CIP, was unfortunately called out of the state due to a death in the family yesterday. But I have Don Huntsman with me here from our DT section who can answer any technical questions that you have about this equipment.
Thank you, Mayor. Are there any questions? Senator Osterman?
Does $115,000 come out of existing funding from
receipts? Right. The Entry Commission generates about twice its annual budget in receipts, and this would be, we're suggesting that this comes from additional receipts that are generated from CFEC's licensing.
Senator Osterman?
Will this allow the public at all to come in and try to figure out who has a license through the internet, or is this just strictly the licensing itself?
We provide that information now on our website, who has what licenses and so on. And we have a pretty extensive website, and the piece of that puzzle that we'd be able to add with this piece of equipment would be online licensing. People could actually submit their applications online, which we can't do now.
Senator Wilson?
Thank you, Chairman. Our DMV, of course, has been doing this for a while, and they're pretty state-of-the-art, and I don't remember the exact numbers from last year, but they had a significant reduction in staff. So I'm surprised that if you are going to go online that you don't have some operating and maintenance cost reductions on the operating side of the budget. Why would that not be? Are we just buying are we just managing growth and buying speed, or are we buying efficiency with this investment?
Chair, Senator Wilkin, the online licensing itself will save the public time, but not necessarily our staff, because it's their ability to get the application. The application will still have to come into us, be handled exactly the way it always has been, and we will still have to mail the permit card to each applicant like we do now. That's more convenient for the public.
So the $115,000 investment buys us public convenience. That's what it gets us.
The online licensing is a plus for having a piece of equipment, and it allows us to achieve that. But the main reason for this piece of equipment is that we are having to upgrade some of our obsolete programs and make sure that we still retain redundancy in our backup system to prevent disaster, which we can't do with the equipment we have now. Maybe Don could answer that.
That's okay. So what you said is that we're buying convenience, we're making a higher level of service to the public, and we're upgrading our equipment.
Right. This enables us to upgrade our equipment.
This is a one-time request?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I could just say there's I like dialogue between the testifiers and the committee members, but in this room, if you ever needed to follow the speaking to the chair, you really need to, because I can hardly hear you with this thing going over here. So just on a practical basis, if you could try to address me, and I think then the board will project a little more. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Brief at ease for a moment. Okay, if we can hear from the Department of Health and Social Services.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mark Johnson. I'm Chief of the Section of Community Health and Emergency Medical Services in the Department of Health and Social Services. We have a request for $341,600 for continuation of a multi-year phased-in project. Okay. This is a multi-year, by the way, I think it's on page 23 of your packet. This is a multi-year phased-in project for improving emergency medical service communications, focusing on rural volunteers throughout the state primarily. And this project is based upon a statewide needs assessment that we had done in 1997 that we're continuing to implement the recommendations. And I have a copy of that if anybody wants to see it. The problems that we're addressing fall into two major categories. The one being that we have emergency responders in many areas of the state that often can't talk to anybody. And I was interested in the comments by Senator Wilkin yesterday about Global Start. It is one of the solutions that we're looking at for those issues, and it also addresses some of the concerns of Senator Lyman as regarding search and rescue. And we actually did, a couple of years ago, purchase some Iridium mobile satellite phones, and fortunately, because we had a good contract, we were able to get our money back from that purchase when the company went bankrupt, but we are still interested in that technology for those circumstances. In other areas, as you get more into populated areas or busy road systems, we still believe that terrestrial two-way radio is the ideal method of communication. It's nice to have some backup, whether it be cell phone in areas where they exist or global satellite in areas that cell phone doesn't exist. But there is a cost to using those systems on a per-minute basis, whereas for the volunteers, most of whom have little or no money available and have difficulty maintaining the service that they provide, then we think that the two-way radio is the better option, plus the fact that oftentimes in an emergency it requires coordination between multiple agencies, police, fire, EMS, et cetera, and a two-way radio system is a better way to communicate in those kinds of incidents. As you get closer to the urban areas of Alaska, we have many systems, and as you heard yesterday, some of those systems are incompatible and can't communicate. They're not on the same frequencies, and we've seen some significant problems with major incidents resulting from that, and that's one of the reasons why there's been this effort to develop this so-called LMR project. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. We continue to work with our EMS regional offices throughout the state to do an ongoing needs assessment. One of the problems that we're addressing is that many parts of our system are about 20 years old, and they're failing with increasing frequency. And again, the volunteers in the state, often, most of them don't have the funds to replace the essential equipment they need to provide the service. And it's also, I think, worth noting that many of the volunteer ambulance and first responder services across the state, the majority of the emergencies they respond to are not people who live in the local community, especially if they're on a highway or a busy a coastal area. They respond, the majority are people either from other parts of Alaska, Anchorage, Fairbanks, or other areas, or they're from people from out of state. So I think this is a very essential service, one that we have an obligation to try to support, and I think in all of our best interests.
On the backup on page 24, it says these funds qualify for 25% match. Therefore, $341,000 could be used to match. Is the point to give this money to the communities and then allow them to match it, or is it kind of a centralized thing? You're going to take care of this through the agency.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in the early phases of this, we were assuming that we would have to rely upon state money to replace all of this equipment. Within the past year, we've discovered that there is a grant program through the United States Department of Agriculture that does provide some funding support for emergency medical services. What we are doing, and the short answer is yes, we're centralizing that with the regional EMS offices. There's some complications because there's a financial status of a community that determines the eligibility of the community as well as the match requirement. So in some instances it may be 25%, in other instances it may be up to 75 or 85%. And my staff and the regional EMS staff are working very aggressively with the United States Department of Agriculture and have been for the last several months to try to determine which communities are eligible and then try to determine how much of a match and how much of the federal grant that we can provide to them. And it's a little bit complicated, but we are making progress. And that's one of the advantages of having this money to us is we actually can leverage it and increase the amount that we can provide to the services.
Do you anticipate, how many communities are we talking about here?
We have, there's in the needs assessment we've done, and the reason I'm hesitating is because there are many communities that we've done needs assessment for EMS equipment that you'll be hearing about the next time we come before you. Some of those have EMS communications needs. I'm going to say it's probably in the neighborhood of 75, but I'd have to double-check that number. I actually have lists here, but I don't have the actual number memorized. But it is throughout the state. And in the earlier phases of this, we have aggressively worked with Interior Region. We've worked with Norton Sound Region. We've worked with Matsu Borough. And when we purchased the Iridium phones, that was actually for many parts of the state that, as I say, we had to turn those back in and get the money back. But on the issue of the Global Star that Senator Wilkin mentioned yesterday, we have actually had some of our people testing those phones in for areas to try to figure out where they are or aren't working. And my understanding is that they do intend to expand that service sometime in the near future, and if they do, that's another service that we want to take a serious look at.
So essentially talking around 75 communities that you have identified a need, and then you'll find out later on how many of those communities qualify for this federal grant.
That's correct.
Senator Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions. First off, if I run the math real quick on this, on a three-year project, plus the federal dollars, we're looking at about $4 million, a little over $4 million to put this system in the rural area.
I think that that's based on the statement that there's a 25% match, but in fact, in some places, it's going to be more of an 85% match, so it's going to be something less than that. And at this point, we've documented the needs. What we don't know right now is how much of that we can give out of the federal program.
Senator Osterman?
If you've documented the needs, how about giving us that information too to go along with this so that we can see?
Yes.
You're 75.
Yeah, this is one document, and this is the updated versions of it that the regions have been working with us since this one was developed. So these are the two documents that include all of the communications, but all of the other EMS equipment needs that we've documented throughout the state. And I'd be happy to provide those to you.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. My final the question was, yesterday we went through $16 million worth of other projects on page 18 where we were talking about the land mobile radio. How does this integrate with that, and why is not that not included in the original $16 million?
Our main focus has been primarily areas that won't be in any, excuse me, Mr. Chairman and Senator Osterman, primarily are not focused on the areas that are targeted initially in the land mobile radio implementation. However, we do have volunteer ambulance services that will be impacted by that system if indeed it's implemented. There's a couple of things I think worth noting about that. First of all, of that $16 million, I think was something like 90% might be federal funds. I think it's a state-of-the-art system, and I know Senator Wilkin asked the question yesterday about will we be coming back in 5 years. All I can tell you is we've got some basic systems out there that have been there for 20 years. I think that system will be a good system well into the future. I'm not the expert on that, but that'd be my assessment. And what we're going to have to do with the volunteer ambulance services, because part of the system is the putting in the main, the trunking controllers, the big hardware that makes the system work, and then what you do is you start tying in your emergency services to that system. And so what we will have to do is have a plan for providing the mobile and portable radios for our volunteer ambulance services when the time comes for them to tie into that system. There's two points that I think need to be looked at, and again, I am not an expert on this. One is that currently we're paying dedicated radio lines for ambulance services along the microwave, and my understanding is that with the implementation of LMR, there will be more agencies using the system and hopefully reducing the cost for the rest of us. At least that would be my hope. And the other thing is that in terms of the cost of implementing the land mobile radio system, a lot of people have looked at some big numbers that I think cause concern about this is going to cost a lot. I think it's important to note that staying the same is going to cost money too. And so what I've actually been hoping to get for the people we work with is I've been told that when you replace radios, which people in the urban areas as well as the rural areas sooner or later have to replace radios, that if we could have a phase-in plan, and I may be getting way beyond where I should be here, but it seems to me if we could give guidelines to the people to say, when you replace a radio, if you buy this kind of radio, and then maybe in the future you only have to change the frequency, but you don't have to change the radio, you have a way to phase into the LMR project without everybody having to buy a brand new radio all at the same time. And maybe the experts can tell you why that's not a good idea, but I think because regardless of whether we keep the existing system we have, we're still going to replace radios as time goes on. So that's part of a cost that needs to be considered.
Senator Osterman?
Okay, just in a couple of words. Why is this request not included in them?
This request is compatible with it because we're focusing at the LMR initially is going to be primarily through the major population areas of the state from Fairbanks down to Anchorage down to the Kenai Peninsula, as I understand it, is the early phases of the project. There has been discussion later to phase in other areas, but I think in the foreseeable future, in three whatever years, that it's going to be in the so-called rail belt part of the state. And much of the need that we've identified is outside of that region. And so we don't, and by the way, we are involved in the planning for LMR in a variety of ways so that we're constantly talking to the people at ITG and Del Smith and others to make sure that we can be a part of that system when the time comes.
We've been joined by Ms. McConnell from Office of Management and Budget. Do you want to weigh in on this and maybe give a broader explanation?
Thank you. I think I can clarify. There are a number of projects that could well have been incorporated as an overall part of the overall LMR effort, but we also felt that there are parts of this very large effort to bring our entire system, not only working for our own state agencies, but to help coordinate, as we discussed the other day, with local and federal agencies. We felt there were a number of pieces that really stood on their own separately of the broader effort, and this is one of them. The Southeast Emergency Connection Project is another where it could well have been put in part of the major program, but we need these, and we need them now, whether we or not we proceed on the same pace that we've recommended to you for the overall LMR project. So they are very definitely related, but we didn't think we had to swallow up the entire world in that massive effort of LMR.
Thank you. Senator Wilson?
Mr. Chairman, was the emergency medical services component like this considered in the telecommunications RFP? Can private industry help us with this?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, my understanding, and I'll defer to others on that RFP, but my understanding is that the state microwave system, which we rely upon in those areas where it exists, the state will continue to maintain the ownership of that system, but that the successful bidder, if there is one, would be maintaining that system. So the impact would be on the maintenance side.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Lehman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark, in the backup, it says these funds qualify for a 25% match, and then says which would go directly to the local agencies, and then says similar things in the next page. I actually think this probably should better be said, qualify for up to a 75% match instead of 25%, because what we're really talking about is the federal side of the match, which then would go directly to the agencies. Is that
through the chair, correct? Yeah, Senator Lehman, that's correct. And when this was submitted, we still didn't have clear guidance from USDA, which in fact, there's part of the issue is we're waiting for the federal office in Washington, D.C. to come out with the final guidelines for this current round of grants. But what you said is correct.
Just for future reference, if we ever have to do it, you might just want to line through that and just, you know, just make it a little clearer. But I understand it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Senator Kelly, Karen Morgan was just suggesting that since so many of the issues around this do relate to the telecom RFP, that if you'd like to have a presentation by the department on where that stands and what things may and may not be included in that, we could certainly arrange one for you.
Probably what that would be more appropriate for is the capital budget subcommittee that we'll do later on.
Okay.
That would be a very good suggestion for that.
And then perhaps if anybody else is interested in attending because they have particular questions about the RFP, we could provide it.
That'd be great. Thank
information
you.
Information.
Next is, unless there are any other questions, the next department is Military and Veterans Affairs. Page 12 of your backup. Hello, Nico. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Nico Buss. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the Department of Military Veterans Affairs project. On your reference, it's page 12. It's for rescue coordination, emergency equipment replacement. Basically, the project proposes to replace the radios with new equipment, relocate the antenna to a more optimum location, and provide new computers for the Rescue Coordination Center. Basically, the equipment that is being used right now in the Rescue Coordination Center is rather old. We cannot get parts for it to replace it, and they communicate with a site on Mount Susitna that has been interrupted about 9 times in the last couple of years. We propose to relocate it to Mount Gordon Lyon, which will improve communication, and at the same time, this project proposes to replace the computers that are used in the Rescue Coordination Center. They are about 6-7 years old, and they need to be upgraded. The Rescue Coordination Center is a combination of state and federal operations. Basically, it's an air guard function. They staff it, they pay for all the salaries, and then the state, because there's quite a few state missions run out of it, is responsible for the equipment. To give you an idea, over the last number of years, over 400 search and rescue missions were performed for the state, while the federal mission was only 5 for downed aircraft. So, gives you an idea the relationship between the state and federal missions. So, it's a relatively modest request, and we hope to ask for your support.
Any questions? Senator Lehman? And Senator
Osico, and just trying to understand the relationship between the federal and the state. And I've been in there to the center, but this request has only state money.
That's correct.
And the relationship and the agreement is that the state provides this, and there's no federal funding for this particular element of it. Is that
through the chair, Senator Lehman, the federal government provides the pilot, the airplane, the fuel to do the search and rescue missions, and then the state provides the equipment in the search and rescue center. There are 3 different agencies in that rescue center. There's a federal mission, there's a state mission, and there's a combined group of Basically, it's called the State Emergency Coordination Center, which houses DNR, DEC, Public Safety, and all these agencies. So if there's any other disasters, such as fire or whatever, then they use it as a command center.
Senator Osterman?
Mr. Chairman, will this also be then included in the overall LMR program, part of coordination between search and rescue and person.
Through the chair, Senator Osterman, the radio part of this, we are holding off on purchasing until out years to make sure that we understand what the best equipment is and what the LMR is. So right now we're proposing to relocate the transceiver and buy computers. So, and then the second part of the project is looking at upgrading the radios and all that stuff.
But it will be included as, I mean, maybe I don't understand LMR totally, but it seems to me that if we're going to spend this kind of money on upfront coordinate all these radios, we need to. I just want to know if it's all part of the same.
Ms. McConnell, before you answer, are we heading to the point where the EMS guy can talk to the search and rescue guy from the National Guard or that he's talking about? Is that essentially your question?
Part of it, yes.
That's where we're heading, yes, but there are both what you might call central infrastructure parts of that whole effort, and there are also sort of the radio end for the individual users, and it's a very large system that has many moving parts. As Nico mentioned, there are aspects of this request, though, which are needed. For instance, the computers, as I learned when we talked about it further with them, they don't have the capability on their computers, these old computers, to bring up and transmit to each other the kinds of digital mapping, aerial photos, and so on that nowadays are just absolutely essential if you're dealing with a search and rescue or other sort of emergency command center type of operation. So this request does not depend on having the rest of the LMR, but it, certainly aspects of it must relate to that overall effort.
Senator Wilkin, did you have a question? Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, Nico.
Say actually for
DNR. That's right, natural resources.
The next project is the Department of Natural Resources. Your reference stage 6. It's the land use database system for industry and public access. We are asking for $495,000 to basically upgrade our key database system for land records. It's really important to understand the system that we are currently using is pretty much antiquated. It was designed in the 1970s. It's written in COBOL language. The one main thing that our internal users say, please replace it. It's too labor-intensive. It's not state-of-the-art. And this project basically proposes to update it to a current database system so not only DNR people can get to it. With your help, the last couple of years, we have automated and digitized the land records in digital format. That's on the status flap, and it's on the web. But then all the information that's behind it, which is in the database, such as the company's name, addresses, and all these types of things, where their applications are in this land use database system. The system proposes to remove the barriers for both the customers and the staff. It will tie to the internet so that the customers can basically check it from their business or from their home. The system will be cheaper to operate. Right now, we have a real hard time finding anybody that can write the code for the current system. And obviously, we try to please. We have over 28,000 active customers, which combined have more than 115,000 cases of DNR. To track that, it's important that we have a good database system. Bob Loeffler, the director of Mining Land and Water, which is one of our key internal customers, I think is online if you want to ask him some more program questions on this.
Hello, Bob. Are you there? Mr. Loeffler?
He's not?
Apparently not online. Get a two-way radio to him. would you quickly describe the customer? The
customers are basically anybody that deals with the Department of Natural Resources. Could be people needing title to the land, people doing surveys, land leases, home sites, right-of-ways, municipalities doing municipal entitlements, mining industry, oil and gas industry, people with water rights, all the things that we do in DNR that we need to keep track of in terms of permits, leases, right-of-ways, those are our customers.
So it'll get down to my wife's uncle, who writes me frequently on these. Good. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. DPS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ken Bischoff, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Public Safety. I'm here to speak to two projects found in OMB's page reference packet, page 13 and 29. Also, yesterday, your staff accommodated a request to insert a packet of material I saw several of the members looking at related to the actual project. To begin with, the Alaska Public Safety Information Network redesign is a project that's been ongoing. Thus far, has been primarily supported with federal funds. Our request for FY 2002 is $2,725,000. Over the life of this project, we project a total project amount of about $8.4 million, of which about $4.8 million in general funds will be required to complete it. If we could look at this graph, and if you still have it in your packet from yesterday, perhaps I can discuss some of the high points and the strategic significance of this application to the entire state.
Does everyone have those? Just go ahead, Mr. Bischoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absent, basically, is the criminal justice scorekeeper. The legislature this year will appropriate something approaching $300 million in state general fund appropriations alone for criminal justice agencies. Statewide, if you add in local budgets, federal agencies for the FBI, immigration and naturalization, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, you're looking at over $500 million. Every one of these agencies use this system. And this graphic is an attempt to depict where public safety gets its information from and presumes the projects you're hearing from reports and corrections will be completed successfully so that we can complete electronic exchanges to populate our system, our legacy system, as well as the system we're rewriting. Department of Law has completed their... are completing an interface with them. We have completed interface software approaching, if you look at Anchorage Police Department's contributions as well as the Department of Public Safety's, approximately $2 million to develop interface software to support what is represented in this oval centerpiece in this graphic to allow them to interface their local police system with our state system and also allow automated linkages with the FBI systems in Virginia. This interface software is available, and we've had inquiries from Fairbanks and Juneau about utilizing it so that they can also link their systems. So we're talking about a project of very significant importance. It provides criminal history record information. It provides hot file information, warrants, writs of execution, wants, where police want to make contact with a person, missing persons, property used in commission of a crime, all that kind of information that a police dispatcher or an investigator would work, as well as support civil functions for laws you pass where it has been found to be sound public policy to require the Department of Education to screen school teachers for previous criminal history upon application for a teacher certificate. Similarly, foster parents and Division of Family and Youth Services, school bus drivers, and other types of occupations, as well as concealed handgun permits. All of that information flows through our agency, and we are very much tied with the Department of Corrections through the fingerprinting process and that is the authenticating source, the positive ID folks that allow us to accurately update the criminal history database. Our current legacy application, APSIN, was implemented in 1984. It's now 15, 16 years old. It needs to be rewritten to be compatible with these other systems, other state agencies and local agencies are developing, and that is the request you have before you.
Questions? The Senator Wilson has asked a number of questions on these communication upgrades as far as will there be a savings that will result from it, or is it just keeping up with demand and new technologies? What would be your estimation on this, both?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if you're referring to a prior project discussion or this project.
Actually, throughout the hearings the last few days on all of these communications upgrades and computer upgrades, there has the question has been, and generally the answer has been, that we're just trying to keep up with demand and new technologies. Some have had resulted in some savings. I was just wondering what would be the pitch on this.
Mr. Chairman, my spin on this, and I think it's one that's shared nationally, is one, we're in a growth industry, but there are tools that can mitigate the growth, which means mitigate the growth in costs in the future. From every angle, we see more need for information. The legislature passes laws, or just growth in services. We use more technology, and the more we enter into the e-commerce world, where we allow the public access to our databases and networks for modest or no charges, the public's going to use bandwidth that was not previously used. So there are tools out there that are able to mitigate some of that growth. I've observed a project that Corrections is involved with, working with ITG, that has really made efficient use of limited bandwidth to very rural locations. There are other tools. That's a more technical discussion that gets beyond my level, but I see those kinds of advantages. So I think in terms of the cost-benefit analysis, I think the kinds of technologies we're adopting will mitigate growth and therefore future costs.
Thank you, Mr. Benchoff. Just for the record and for everyone here, we've been joined by former Lieutenant Governor Red Boucher. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, welcome. Any other questions? Senator Lehman?
And I just want to be clear on the federal funds for the future projects. I see the listing here for past projects, and I thought in your very opening sentences you talked about what this would be matched against for the remaining projects. Could you just tell me where that is or re-explain what the future federal funds are?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Lehman, I tried to state what our project request was for 2002, which is the $2.7 million. We've been working on this project for a couple of years now, working requirements analysis out, migration plan strategies, adopting other infrastructure. So we've had some federal money and a limited amount of general funds. But when we get done with this thing, if you add it all up from what we started with 2 years ago to what we'll finish with in about 3 years, we'll have about $8.4 million in it, of which 4.8 is estimated to be general fund.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Benchoff. If you want to move on to the Southeast upgrade.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is a project that has been before the legislature in the past. The state does not have an emergency communications capability dedicated to the state in the Panhandle. What this project proposes to do with cooperation from the Coast Guard, we have been authorized to establish 8 antenna sites on existing Coast Guard sites to footprint the Panhandle for a VHF radio system that would be used by the Alaska State Troopers for dispatch and regular business communications, as well as emergency medical services, folks like DEC, and recently the ferry system has expressed an interest in this project. The project is for $400,400.
Questions?
For your district, Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Benchoff.
Thank you.
Brief it is, just a moment. We're back. If we could get the Department of Revenue to come up and make a presentation, please.
He's just outside.
Good morning. My name is Paul Dink. I'm with the Permanent Fund Dividend Division in the Department of Revenue. We have a capital project request for $125,000 for what we call OCR, or optical character recognition. This project would expand where we are currently in our technology with the division. by allowing us to basically scan documents as they come in from the people that we send letters out to with missing information or incomplete applications. And right now it's somewhat of a problem because applicants will call in and say, did you get what I sent? And with the thousands of letters that we receive every year, it's difficult to tell them at the time that we did or did not. So this would allow us to, as we get the letters, we would scan them into our system. We currently have an imaging system in place right now. So this would supplement that imaging system. And essentially what it would do is scan in based on a barcode or other mark on the letters, and it would populate our database with a flag that we have received some documentation and a sequential number to cross-reference that document so we can pull it up on our imaging system also. And essentially this would greatly enhance our customer service. Be glad to take any questions.
Senator Osterman?
I assume for $125,000 there must be some software in here, but it's not just $125,000 for a scanner.
That's correct. It's mostly software related. We have the scanning hardware already in place in the division.
What's the downside of not having this? You've said that it allows you to track customer inquiries.
Right.
Better, is that the right. Is there something beyond that?
Yeah, the downside would be that the applicants would not be able to answer whether we have the documentation in house for the applicant.
Is there a short backlog time of this?
In the summertime, we tend to get, I would say, maybe 50,000 document backlog. Mm-hmm. That's the time when we send out to all of our applicants letters requesting additional information or incomplete information at the conclusion of our processing season.
Senator Ward?
Yes. Do you happen to, could I get a copy of this Watchman and Associates needs assessment?
Through the chair, yes, we can get you a
Thank
copy
you.
Of that.
Senator Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, sir, the benefit of this $125,000 investment is increased customer service.
To the chair, yes, that's correct. We'll be able to tell the applicant within short time. It obviously will take a day or two to scan that information in, but we can tell them at that time that we have the information and provide them with information also, because we can actually pull up the image at that time. And if it's something that we can easily work with and clear out their case, then we can work that case and clear out our inventory.
No operating efficiencies. We'll be again managing growth and increasing customer service.
Good chair, that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Would you refresh me the PFD fund? Where does that money come from? Is that a set aside within the dividend reserve, or is that just from the dividend reserve?
It's not a part of the reserve. It's a separate fund. I'm not real familiar with that part of the budgeting process in the department. It is a separate fund that we get appropriations to. And then we take the excess every year that's left over from what is not paid out in dividends that rolls into that fund.
Yeah. It's for management of the dividend program?
Yes.
Senator Wilkin?
Chairman, are you thinking about a way to apply for your dividend online?
To the chair. Yes, we already have an online application, and it's a little bit cumbersome, unwieldy, and we're looking at a way to basically go into a browser session and kind of like DMV, where you go out into your browser and complete the questions right there. Right now, you have to download the form through a viewer, and we're finding that it's a little bit unwieldy. So that would be something I think we would offer to repeat applicants, people that have applied and had what we call the one-page application, where you don't have absences or you're not required to complete a supplemental schedule. We would target those people, and that's about 95% of our population. They could go out there on their browser session and complete the application.
Senator Wilkins?
So if half of the people took advantage of that, you'd save 200,000 pieces of paper. And you wouldn't have to do any sort of optical scanning.
We would have to still do it. We'll never get away from optical scanning for two reasons. Not everybody's going to file on the internet through that method. The second reason is we still have the people that do have supplemental schedules and do not fill out all the questions. So we're never going to get away from that.
Ms. McDonald?
Senator Kelly, this is an excellent example of one of the places where we're going to provide what you might call cross-pollinization of projects, because in the earlier project you heard about electronic signatures. One of the big issues for the permanent fund dividend applications is how you would address that. Right now, if you file electronically, you still need to send in your written signature saying, you know, all this stuff is true. And so as we work through the electronic signature project, we will be examining issues like what would be the appropriate way to handle the kinds of web applications where we're wanting someone to sign for it, and is it appropriate to do a digital signature, is it appropriate to have a PIN number, all those sorts of issues. So this is an example of how we're working through this broader TIC process to be sure that as we work through issues in one arena, we're thinking about the implications and the technology issues for other applications. And then same with the optical scanning. So the work we do in the optical scanning project here can then be useful in other departments where they have similar kinds of needs to track large amounts of paper coming in and to try to develop a system that then can provide the basic tools for any state agency that's got a similar situation. And I think that's a real change from how we did projects in prior years. We didn't think them through being examples of statewide efforts.
Thank you. Senator Osterman? Jim.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. To me, it seems like maybe we should go to a vote of the people on using the dividend here.
Somebody trying to steal that dividend check? Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Connell. Thank you. No further questions? Oh, Senator Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, I was just trying to figure out if we can tap into the same system and use it for our needs, too. Is it going to be big enough to help the legislature handle paper?
We'd be out of the job. Give us some fun.
I don't know, you're
getting
into that.
Child support enforcement, is there someone here to address that?
Where are we at now?
Same line. It was just, he skipped. Okay. Oh, okay. We also have Mr. Malone online. Who is going to be doing the presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Maloney.
Okay. Mr. Maloney, could you describe the project to us, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Maloney, and I'm the data processing manager for the Child Workforce Division. The objective of this capital project is to eliminate two critical problems within the automated child support system. The first one is a piece of proprietary software that is used to handle all the input and output calls within the system. This technology is about 9 or 10 years old and is no longer supported by the vendor. Consequently, anytime that ITG updates anything on the mainframe, we have a problem getting this piece of software to operate. So far, we have been lucky enough with the help of the ITG folks and my own staff to be able to create some type of workaround when we've had these updates. But eventually, at some point, this software is simply not going to work as we continue to go forward. The second part of this capital project is, since we began rewriting these programs anyway, we need to rewrite some of these older programs for some efficiency. We've added on so many things to the system now that we're beginning to have trouble completing our batch cycle at night. Consequently, sometimes, such as end of month, end of quarter, that type of thing, we're actually running into the operating day. And since all the child support casework is done on the system, and to be able to answer a client's question, the public's question, the system must be up. However, now we're finding in several days and months that we're not able to have the system up and provide the service to the public or provide the information that's needed for the child support system. So that would be the second portion of this particular project we would do, is rewrite more efficiently a lot of the code for these older things that would allow us to complete that batch cycle in a faster manner. As we've done a more recent capital project, it requires us to rewrite a good portion of the distribution dispersal system module of this system. We've gone ahead
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Question. A lot of problems result from spouses leaving state, and then they kind of disappear sometimes into the into nothingness. I mean, the spouses who are the receivers have no way of getting payment from them. In your, is this modification, or is there anything in the future coming to where we can be linked up nationwide to better track people? Senator Lehman?
John, do you have a breakdown of the cost for the remaining $3 million of work? And I don't, you probably don't have access to the other backup that we have, but most of the other departments are providing a little more backup, you know, on their, what the request is. And I assume a good part of this is for programmers, but is there any backup that you can provide to us? None of that cost is for new software?
Through the chair, Senator Lehman, no, sir. Actually, it'll be for contract programmers to rewrite the software that we currently have.
Senator Wilkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I look at the request sheet, it shows a project date from July 1st of 01 to June 30th of 06, and the $3 million is being requested in 02. So I assume then if this $3 million is appropriated, then it just gets you through those 5 years. And then, to be clear on that, the second thing is, if we're not able to do the full GF in this year, are we able to phase in some amount over 02, 03, 04 to still get you to finish in 06?
Did you have anything to present?
No, sir.
Okay, just for questions. On to the next one, then. Transportation Public Facilities. And then we've done university, so this will be the last one, and then we'll go. Any luck, we'll get to the court. So.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Kurt Parkin, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We have five items before you today. The first one is the only one that's a general fund project, and that is the Management Reporting System Efficiency Analysis and Development. A little background on this one is we have probably at least a dozen different information management systems that the department uses, and we have learned or kind of we have a sort of a sense of frustration in the fact that not all of them produce reports that are very valuable to management for decision-making purposes. And so what this project would do would be provide a thorough analysis of all our information systems that are being used by the department, including a review of what information is being collected from them, how it's being collected, and how the information is being used. And the review would suggest ways of improving the efficiency of the department's information management by streamlining processes. We think that this whole project will allow us to take a look at all of our information management systems, including the ones that we're developing now, look at a way of making sure that the reports that come out of them are usable by management, and the end result would be an ability to better track, monitor the different systems within the department, and also better able for us to look at our performance measures and see how we're doing and ways that we can improve on them.
Currently, what's the problem that you have information from all of these different systems in different formats? And
Mr. Chairman, yes. Each system was developed sort of independent of the others. So we've got airport information management, Alaska Marine Highway reservations, highway accident systems, GIS, pavement management, equipment fleet, just the list goes on, and they all come up with some reports that are useful for that specific purpose, but they don't necessarily talk to each other, or they don't produce a document that is of good value to management, particularly the commissioner, for the purposes of setting policy and looking at the performance of the section in which the systems are being used.
Is this going out to bid, or is this something you're going to do internally?
Mr. Chairman, this is something that we propose to do. To create, it would be a contract to do an analysis of the systems and make recommendations on how we can better coordinate the reporting of them.
So you're going out to, you're going to bid this?
Yes.
Senator Ward?
Actually, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was the question because in the state of Indiana, this is how they started out with the airport and some other things, and they did go out for a bid, and it was discovered at the bid part that they could privatize the management of the airport and a lot of other things, and they're running their departments now at a third of the cost by just going out for an RF request for proposal for the operation of these departments. And so this at least has some merits to it.
Senator Lehman?
Kurtz, in the request for proposals for doing this work, are you going to help ensure that the contractor integrates all the users into this review to make sure that it's user-friendly as well?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lehman, yes, that would be part of the scope of this work.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. We'll move on to the next one.
Yes, the next couple of items have to do with the Design and Information Services Division. The first one is the comprehensive document.
And you said from that project on, it's federal funds?
Mr. Chairman, the next two projects are federal funds, and the final two projects are International Airport Revenue Fund.
Okay.
The last one was the only general fund, with the exception of match required for these next two.
Thank you.
The Comprehensive Document Management System is our attempt to bring in line all of the project plans, as-built diagrams, parcel documents, technical reports, all of which are now being stored in filing cabinets throughout the state. And this is our attempt to put all this information on a computer and have it available to all of our design engineers. It's going to be good not only in terms of just space use, of a better use of the space, but we will be able to have one engineer take a look at, do some research and see how, for example, geotechnical issues on one project may apply to another project, and it will save time in terms of researching and I suspect money, you know, in the long term. But I think it'll allow the division to be more efficient in how they do their business. It's essentially computerizing all the documents.
No questions? Go ahead.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, is the right-of-way permitting and project development management system. This is essentially, it's very similar to the previous one I just described. This one allows us to put all of our right-of-way work, utility permits, right-of-way permits, onto a computer that is available for the entire state right-of-way folks to review. I think will make the right-of-way permitting system a little more efficient. It is a part of a larger project that we're undertaking to make right-of-way a little more user-friendly and more consistently applied throughout the state.
Just I want to make sure I'm on the same track as you. What's the reference number on this one?
This would be 33910.
Okay, I'm off by one. Now, that's a 9% minimum match, and is that general fund? Is that not listed because it's already in the budget?
Mr. Chairman, that would be the standard 9 to 10%
of general fund. Okay.
It would be from federal highways.
All right.
Federal questions.
The match came from where?
And the match is just the general fund match
general fund,
in the budget.
That's fine. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
The next two items are at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport. The first one is, information. It's the Information Technology Systems one, reference number 33898 for $1 million about. This would expand the perimeter wiring system that we are including in the main terminal that would expand bandwidth, allowing voice improved data and video technologies within the terminal itself. What currently happens is every tenant runs their own wires throughout the airport, and we want to create one single backbone that they connect into with high-speed access. This project will extend that perimeter wiring system to the north terminal as well as to the safety, the ARF building where the police are, and would expand the ability of the public safety folks, the fire and rescue folks, to have access to GIS and CAD information that relates to the building plans and layouts of the building, so in the event of any kind of emergency, they'll be able to pull up and look right away through the computer at what the building looks like and the systems. So this expands what we already have in the main terminal to the north terminal and the public safety facility.
Senator Green?
Is this just to augment what was in the, I assume this was planned for with the reconstruction project or the construction project ongoing now? Was this a shortfall in this particular area or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Green, no, it's not, because mm-hmm. this is not included as part of the terminal project. This is just continuing on of some improvements that we've done at the terminal that's taking place at the same time the terminal project is going, and expanding it out so that the tenants of the north terminal and users of the north terminal have access to the same system that the folks in the main terminal have, plus gives us the enhanced service by the public safety folks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kurt, I noticed this too is an 01 to 06 project. Is it, do we have the ability to phase it in, or do we even need to think about that because of it being airport funds?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, this would be the entire piece, and so it's airport funds. Once it's authorized, I'm not sure what the actual time frame is for this to go, but we're really talking about the next 2 years. This, I believe, is included in the as a part of the larger five-year CIP that the airport and the airlines are working out as part of their operating agreement. This is part of the first 2 years of that five-year CIP, so we anticipate dealing with that within the first 2 years.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the second item at the airport in Anchorage is communication equipment and system relocation. This essentially
What reference number was that? You were just in a slightly different order than I have it.
Oh, I'm sorry. The reference number on this one is 33897.
Okay.
And this is a replacement of the phone system, essentially, and related equipment, switches, frame rooms. The current system is over 25 years old. And this is an item that was also reviewed by the airlines in our discussions on the new operating agreement. As a question might come up as it might relate to the telecommunications RFP, this system is needed in any case, and however the telecommunications RFP works out, this will fit in because we'll need the authorization for the new equipment anyway. currently there's one switch, there's it's old, it's a problem. It's replacing it.
Any questions from Quinney? Senator Wilkin?
Two questions. Thank you. The first one was about the RFP, so run that by me again. So if this was part of the RFP and if the negotiations were successful, you would still need $5.5 million to buy the equipment? Is that what you're saying?
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, yes, we're still going to need the equipment. The service provided would be something that would be included in the negotiation from the telecommunications RFP.
Why wouldn't the provider provide the equipment and we become subscribers?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, that's a question that I can't answer. I'm not that familiar with all of the telecommunications RFPs. It was determined through the process of development of the budget that this, we would need the authorization, we need the equipment anyway, and so maybe we get a better deal through the negotiations since the airport will purchase the equipment.
Karen Morgan, can you maybe address Senator Wilkin's question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Karen Morgan again from the Information Technology Group. I know that this RFP is very complex, and I appreciate the questions are coming forward. As Ms. McConnell offered, we'd be happy to do a separate session on that, and I think that would be appropriate. But I just wanted to clarify, when we were asked to submit budgets for this year, we were actually in the budget development process before the RFP hit the street. there's a lot of unknowns with the RFP. There were a lot of unknowns at the time we developed budgets. So the instructions went out that we should develop our budget as if the RFP were not going to occur. However, we have included a full set of specifications in the RFP that would include the airports and the projects that were before you yesterday. So we are working very closely to make sure those mesh. We are very optimistic that we're going to end up with a good contract, and this allows us the flexibility. The authorization allows us the flexibility to move forward with however the RFP contract is awarded. And even though it is being awarded, is being offered as a fee-for-service project, we've allowed a lot of flexibility in the RFP for the vendors to present to us the most cost-effective solution. So this authorization would allow us to do this. This would be a maximum authorization. We will intend to come back to you next year once we award a contract and adjust any authorizations that would be necessary.
Senator Wilson?
Well, I guess I'm confused. The Telecommunication Act of 96 essentially had a trade-off of competition. Competition was brought to the market, and the direction of Congress was to have private industry supply the world, or at least the nation, with communication. And we seem to be going the other way. We seem to be wanting to put $40 million here, and now we've kind of put $6 million here, into being our own little phone systems. And I don't understand. The only reason I can imagine that we would want an airport phone system would be if it's a profit center for the airport and we're making money off of it, just like telephone systems around the nation were making money because of excessive charges, which brought the 96 Telecommunication Act. So I don't understand why we want to go down the track of having an airport-owned what amounts to the telephone company of the Anchorage Airport. We'll work through that maybe at the subcommittee. But we seem to be going in the opposite direction of what Congress wants us to go. And if we are not going to be the phone company, we, the state, paid for by landing fees and passenger fees, if we're not going to be the phone company, then we don't need the $5.5 million, and the landing fees don't change, and the people, including me, that use that airport don't pay the $3. So it does trickle down to the consumer. I wonder, if it isn't part of the RFP and we become simply a subscriber in an operating budget that benefits from competition for the next however many years, decades. So enough of that.
Senator Wilkin, and I think what I'm going to ask each of the members, whether we want an overall presentation to bring all these elements together before the full finance committee or with the subcommittee, it seems to be a big enough issue that we may not want to do it just for the subcommittee because of time conflicts that may result. So we'll ask the different members what their preference would be, and then we'll put together something. And I think, actually, an overall presentation, I don't necessarily think we're going backwards here. I think we have a little more information now, but it's pieces and parts, and then an overall presentation can bring everything together, and then we can have some questions of that. We may even want a subcommittee just to look at the telecommunications portion of this budget. So I'll come around and talk to people about that. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're the chair yet, because I saw you wince there because you asked the question.
I remember the Y2K.
That's all right. It doesn't have to be you. But you have asked an awful lot of questions on this.
You will.
All right. Kurt, was that it, or did you have
that's
one more?
It. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you, Karen, as well. Doug, do you want to come up? And I assume 15 minutes is good enough for what you got here.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You could wait, Doug, just for a moment so that everybody can get their paperwork straight here and we know we're all on the same page. Going to the court system. And the first one I have up is reference number 3403. I think it's zero. Is that what you have, Doug? Page one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. For the record, my name is Doug Wolliver. I'm the administrative attorney for the Alaska court system. And thank you for taking the time to hear us this morning. I know I just heard your signals calling you to the Senate floor. I'll try to make this very brief. We have, as you know, 8 requests in our capital budget this year. The first one, our top priority, is one with which you're well familiar. It's our second phase funding for our case management system. Last year, you provided us with phase one funding, which is allowing us to develop, purchase, test, and install in a test court location a modern case management system. You're aware of the shortcomings from numerous other hearings of our current system, the frustrations it causes in terms of us being able to provide you with the information you need to make public policy, the information that other agencies need in electronic data transfers that we're only able to transmit to a paper format. And it frustrates, too, our own ability to manage ourselves because it limits the amount of information we have about our own operations. Phase two funding will enable us to basically install on a statewide basis that which we're developing through phase one. And it is our top priority. We think that not only would we benefit from it, but you'd benefit from it by better information, and the other agencies would benefit from it from us being able to transmit an awful lot more information electronically.
Doug, two questions. Can you phase the phase? In other words, this is the second phase of it, but does it all have to come in this fiscal year, or can that be spread out? And second of all, to answer, I think, the question which has come up in almost all of these presentations is what's the bottom line benefit, if you could just describe those two things quickly to me.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. It's difficult to phase in this phase because an awful lot of the purchase of the cost is purchasing of a statewide license, and if we do that phased in, it costs more. In terms of the overall benefit, it will allow us to keep track of far more information, both fiscal information, case management information. It will allow us to provide you with more detailed information about our caseloads, about, if you recall, during the tort reform debate, there was a great request from this body to find out about the types of cases we have in order to find out whether or not tort reform, how you should focus tort reform. We didn't have any of that information. Under a better system, which we're developing now, we will be able to have that type of information. And of course, the electronic transfer. Right now, we send all of our judgments, criminal judgments, to the Department of Public Safety on pieces of paper. They then have personnel who have to input by hand all of the information that we transmit to them. We should be able to and would be able to, under this system, transmit all of that information literally with a few keystrokes.
Okay, the question that comes then, obviously, from that is there going to be a corresponding operating budget savings from this?
I can't speak for the other agencies that have to have extra staff to input the data, but it won't. It allows us to just better keep track of information we currently keep track of on paper.
I guess just as you're going through any of these general fund things, I see the next one is phased over quite a period of time. Just those two questions seem to keep coming up. If it's general fund, tell us if it can be phased. And if there's a corresponding economic benefit, or if you just plan to do a better job with the implementation of this equipment.
The second priority is updating our information system. This can be phased in a variety of different ways. It does not create so much an economic benefit for us as it replaces outdated equipment. Right now, we have a lot of old computers weighing 386s and 486s that simply don't work with our current system and won't work with the new case management system. As you know, private sector typically likes to be on a 5-year replacement cycle for technology. We're way behind the curve on that. This is an attempt to bring up some of our computer systems to, not the system so much, but individual desktop computers to a more modern level. It also improves our phone systems. As you know or may know, Alaska uses telephonic hearings more than any other state court system, mostly because of our geography. a modern updated court phone system facilitates those telephonic hearings, which save us money, Department of Law money, public defender money, other agencies, and individual litigants money. These upgrades facilitate those hearings and that cost savings. An outdated phone system frustrates those goals. Our third priority is the first